Welcome to the Homily Studio for the sixth Sunday in the season of Easter, the sixth Sunday of Eastertide, Sunday 22nd of May. It's good to be together, not only those who are in the room, who I'll invite to introduce themselves in a moment, but wherever you are listening, and for whatever reason you are listening, some of you are listening because you are challenged with the task, the privilege of preaching on these readings to a congregation. Some because you are seeking before the Sunday to understand the readings more deeply, to make the Word of God, who for us is not just a text on a page, but the person of Jesus Christ, the Word of God, to come into deeper relationship with this Word. So whoever you are, wherever you are listening, and I know we have listeners across the country and through Australia and America, particularly North America, Asia, and even in Europe. So wherever you are listening, you are very welcome. Each of us here in the room today in this conversation, let's take a moment to introduce ourselves.
Kia ora tato. I'm Felicity Giltrap. Marriage Ministries Church Mission Archdiocese of Wellington is my main title. I'm coming to you today from sunny Lower Hutt in Wellington.
Kia ora koutou. I'm Colin McLeod. I'm down here in Dunedin. I'm the director for the National Centre of Religious Studies. I look after RE for Catholic schools. And it's a beautiful sunny day down here in Dunedin. Just don't look out the window.
Kia ora koutou. I'm Rory Patterson, and I'm a religious education advisor for the Diocese of Christchurch.
With John O'Connor, who I may need to introduce myself again. I've been away for a couple of weeks. With a group on retreat and a few days break as well. So in my absence, I'm grateful to Kath Petrie and to Merv Duffy for taking this place as the host. I had to come back. I feared after listening to those two episodes that I could well lose my job. I really appreciated listening as someone who was a little independent. But it's great to be back as well, particularly because I know and we know and we hear that this ministry, this conversation is very helpful. Let's begin as we do always in prayer. The reason we do this is not just a discussion about some texts. It's not an attempt to in detail exegete these texts or to take them apart and examine them. But our deep desire is that we come into deeper, more full relationship with the Word of God, Jesus Christ, risen, present, active among us. In a moment of silence, let us ask that we may encounter Jesus. And in the opening prayer, the collect of this Sunday, we pray, grant Almighty God that we may celebrate with heartfelt devotion these days of joy, which we keep in honor of the risen Lord, and that what we relive in remembrance we may also hold to in what we do through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
Well, it's great to be together. I wonder what, just to position ourselves, we're really towards the end of the Easter season. Next Sunday is the Feast of the Ascension. The following Sunday is Pentecost, so we're right at towards the end of the Easter season. At the end of the Easter season, what was it that moved you most as you reflected on these scriptures?
Well, personally, I really enjoy the Easter season because for one reason, we get to look at or we hear from the Acts of the Apostles, and it was brought home to me particularly this week. With this reading, because of something I read online about an exchange between Pope Francis and the group called Outreach, which is about ministry to LGBT, which is Father James Martin is involved in. But he had written some questions to Pope Francis, and one of which was, what would you like LGBT people to know about the church? And Pope Francis's handwritten answer, which arrived within a week, apparently, was, I would like them to read the Acts of the Apostles. There they will find an image of the living church. And so it seems to me that the tensions or discussions or questions that are in the Acts of the Apostles, like this week's one about following the law on circumcision. We live with these tensions in the church today still. We have to navigate our way through them. We have to pray about them. And through in the Easter season, another look at Acts each year, we get, I think, to see a pathway through. And so that's what brought home the role of the Acts of the Apostles for us. That really jumped out at me when looking at this week's readings.
Yeah, I think my sense was similar, Rory, if I'm reading you right. The church right from the beginning has had troubles. It's struggled to sort of come up with a sense of real unity. So we know, all of us, ecumenically even, we are centred on Christ. We have that we can claim. But when it comes down to nuts and bolts and this and that, I can remember my mum, sort of, I went in one time and didn't genuflect, you know. Now, she was most disturbed about that, you know. And then I learned a little bit about genuflecting, I remember. And then I used to look out for Good Friday when everyone would come in. This is me, about a 10-year-old. And everyone would come in and they'd all genuflect when they went in. And I'd be thinking, nope, you're not supposed to on Good Friday because the presence of Christ is not in the tabernacle. There's no one to aim at. And I can remember my little kid's brain getting into this sort of mindset of, okay, what's allowed, what's not, where am I right, where is everybody else wrong? And I think it's taken me, I'm 55 now, I'm still on the journey of working out what actually matters. If we're centred on Christ, probably we're in the right ballpark. But a lot of it does matter. I'm not actually meaning it doesn't, because if we chuck everything out, what are we left with?
I think what struck me was the beauty of the first reading as well, and how lovely it was that it was a letter written, almost to say, look, sorry, some of our team have got the wrong message, and yet here's what we really want to say. And for a moment there, I was a bit concerned about the end of the first reading there, to abstain from meat sacrificed to idols, from blood, from meats of strangled animals, and from unlawful marriage. And I actually had to ponder that and try and figure out what that actually meant. And what I've sort of come to the conclusion of after a bit of thought and prayer and discussion was that actually what mattered to those of the day was that they could share a meal together. And so the meats, so we could all have meat that we could all share. And from unlawful marriage, potentially, we want you to celebrate marriage and not live an unlawful marriage. So those sort of things stood out for me.
Well, we've kind of got a trifecta there of three people saying very similar things. And I'm going to make it four in a way. There is a line that's used. Often the scriptures have an introduction line, and the introduction line for the gospel is, a peace the world cannot give is my gift to you. A peace the world cannot give. So, but for me, it was the Acts of the Apostles again. And people sometimes say, well, why do we have these Acts of the Apostles readings? We usually have the Old Testament, so the first readings, Acts of the Apostles. And in my understanding, it's really because here we have a community in the Acts of the Apostles after the resurrection and ascension and Pentecost, who are wrestling with what is it to live in relationship with a God in Jesus who is not historical, but is primarily present and active and alive among us. And, you know, if we toss out all the stuff the church presents, well, we can be a bit, as you say, lost, Colin. But if we pair things back to what is essential, we really get very close to Christ. And if we are close to Christ, we find ourselves living with what is essential in all of these issues. Like, for the, there have always been debates and problems in the church that we realize later were not a problem for God at all. And here we were trying to sort out issues, and one of you mentioned earlier the LGBTQIA+. We think this is an issue, but for God it's not an issue at all. If we look at it with a human limited site. Sure, it's a problem. What do we do about this? How do we structure this? How do we keep order in the church? But when we come to this with the gaze of God, we see there is no problem. What do we do? We love. What do? We live. We don't try and get things organized and ordered so that we can then live. We just live today. This is the peace that this world cannot give, because we do come to all of these issues with our need to get it ordered and tidy and neat and structured, or our need to prepare documents and say, oh, look what we've done. We've prepared these documents. But does this work that we're doing really touch the heart of the people with whom Jesus on earth, before the death and his resurrection, with Jesus on earth, he spent time with these people. He didn't give them a document. He didn't give them a coherent argument. He gave them a presence that was the full presence of God in himself incarnate, a peace that the world cannot give, but Christ living today can and does give.
Yeah, that sounds very easy, John. And why are we still struggling after a couple of thousand years?
I knew there was a but coming, Colin. That's very easy, John, but why are we still struggling? I think the answer's that we think that this world is all there is. Like, we allow the world to give our default settings of law and order. If we live in relationship with Christ, and you'll notice in the people who really are living in relationship with Christ, and in myself, in the moments when I'm living in relationship with Christ, these things are not a problem. And too often we come with a secular meeting mentality to try to resolve what we see as the problems or the issues. And Jesus is just saying, look, for goodness sake, get on with life. Stay in relationship with me, get on with life, and everything changes.
I think I agree. I think it's where the advocate comes into play, you know, in the gospel. And I was particularly struck when I read it with this, that the advocate, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send, will teach you everything and remind you of all that I told you. And I was struck by that rule, remind you of all that I told you. And I thought, ain't that the truth? How often do we need to be reminded of this stuff? Many of us have rocked on up to Mass. If I'm 55, I'm nearly a full 20 cycles through the weekday readings, nearly 30 through the Sunday readings. The other way around. But why is it that a gospel can suddenly speak to me in a completely different way on one Sunday than it has in another? I think it's the spirit at work, reminding.
That's right. Because, Colin, I think that's exactly right, because the Gospels are not a text on a page. They're a living, in Jesus now, a living presence. That's why they speak anew every time. You know, how often, you know, I who reflect on these readings often in order to preach, to give a homily, sometimes I'll see in a Gospel reading something I know in almost 40 years of being a priest I've never seen before. What did they do? Did they suddenly slip a change in? No, it's always been there, but I've never saw it. But it's the thing I need to see today.
Speaking of seeing something different, I saw something else in the gospel which I'd like to share. And it was about, do not let your hearts be troubled or afraid. And I was just thinking about how it was when Jesus was speaking and how scared the disciples were. They were obviously just worried. And this part of the gospel was part of that long part where Jesus tells about how it will be once he's gone and what it's like to farewell him. But don't worry, I'll be back as the Holy Spirit. And if you've ever sort of been preparing with anybody who's going away, it takes quite a long time to prepare to go away. And so what I really love about this reading is that Jesus really gives the disciples time to digest what he's actually saying. And although they may not understand exactly what's going to happen, Jesus takes his time and really tries to explain into their hearts what it will mean for them. And that's part of that beauty of that gospel that I found.
I also liked Colin's the line he had isolated about the Holy Spirit will teach you everything. I thought that's quite profound. I hadn't noticed before in terms of thinking about what does it mean if we really trust the Holy Spirit to teach us everything. So that's one comment. But I also liked the line earlier on when Jesus is saying, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. My Father will love him, and we shall come to him and make our home with him. That a concept of being together and making our home together. And it linked for me back to this idea of being church and the tensions and grievances and questions that emerge. But I feel that the challenge is for us to trust and to pray to the Holy Spirit to teach us everything, but also to make our home in the church. And it actually takes work. It takes time, because sometimes we can be we can feel, like I say, a bit aggrieved about how things pan out, or whether we listen to, or we can't always see what the bigger picture is. But I just like that idea of making our home in the church and really trusting in the Holy Spirit to teach us everything.
That sense of living together as being such a simple sort of a concept, of being whānau, of actually having that, we have a common place where we gather. There's a, to me, I mean, I'm not Māori, but to me there was a sense of what I understand by marae, that coming onto this common ground and sharing it, that's what the Father offers. I took a bit of exception to God saying it, so it's not really for me too, but I think Father loves everyone. The Father loves everyone, whether or not they are the ones who keep their word. And I think that there's something that happens in me that orientates me towards God because of my desire to keep the word and my love for God that assists that. But it's really interesting when you read in John that, you know, basically you're either in or you're out. God's love is certainly there, but there's very much a sort of the Johannine community is a very much an identity that he's talking to, and there's sort of a bunch of sort of expectations, not rules, but expectations that are sort of part of this. That it's not to say that the Father's love is conditional as such, but certainly that the if you choose not to love the Father, then you're out. I don't know. That was my reading. Others might disagree.
Just to go back to the Acts reading, I love the confidence that they have when they make this decision. Now, of course, we would say that the meat of strangled animals and abstain from some foods are not the essentials. But the writer of the Barnabas and Paul and the writer of Acts, who we understand to be the writer of the Gospel of Luke as well, says it has been decided by the Holy Spirit and by our souls. And I love the confidence of it reminds me of a story that I'll tell. A few years ago, I was in the parish of Our Lady of Victories in Sockburn, and one of the parishioners phoned, and I answered the phone, and they said who they were, and then they said, that is Father John O'Connor, and I said yes, and they said, Jesus and I are not very happy with you. And then they went on to, but I remember admiring the confidence. How often are we able to know, I mean, it, we probably wouldn't say it aloud, but Jesus and I have this view. Now, we often did it, God's on our side because the church says, but I don't mean that. I mean, how often internally are we able to say, Jesus and I understand it this way? Now, I think while it's unhelpful to say that aloud, to have that internal confidence as they did in the Acts of the Apostles, what a wonderful thing. That's what I need. But we need that confidence. So often we doubt ourselves. What was it once said? The opposite of faith is not doubt, it's certainty. But that doesn't mean this kind of confidence. You know, often the people who are rigidly certain this is what God wants, it's not faith they have. So this kind of confidence that Jesus gives, like in these scriptures, everything comes from outside. In the Apocalypse reading, in the Revelation, the holy city comes from somewhere else. It's not totally the same as this city that we're living in here, but it's something else from outside. That's where our confidence comes from.
Colin, I like, just building on what you said about home, or maybe you didn't, I'm just thinking about membership of the church or being church. Home implies a sense of belonging. And so those of us who are here, I'll speak for myself, I feel a sense of belonging in the Catholic world. And that means that, it means a number of things, but it means that it takes work from me sometimes to accept the answers to the questions that are put, or to keep that relationship and that belonging, that sense of home, alive. And so I think if God is making God's home with us, that's a really powerful concept, that about God wanting to be with us, and we mustn't forget that if God is making God's home with us, then that's telling us God wants us and to be connected to us. And I think that's pretty profound in the busyness and the world that's coming at us, which is a massive distraction. And we can often end up, as Father John said, that's where we can sort of place our hope occasionally, and that generally doesn't end well for us.
Yeah, I'm getting a real sense in this conversation of a lot of it's about alignment, about where God sits in the decision-making process, and where God is in the relationship, and where I am and where others are. I think, you know, the decision in Acts was made, there was a confidence in it because it was good for the people, that those that were listening on it didn't stop anyone who was going to be circumcised from being circumcised. Let's remember, this nearly destroyed the church. It was a huge, huge issue. And that the answer was in one of compassion and welcome and acceptance, really. And I think that there are times in my life when I decide that I'm that confident that I know what Jesus is saying, that I have to drag Jesus into the space that I've established, into the line in the queue that I've established, and say, okay, here I align. And I sadly encounter some people, I think, who they say, you know, you get these situations where either sometimes it's me too, but I'm thinking, someone needs to sit down and talk to Christ now, because Christ is being talked about and is not being allowed in the room. People are putting words in Jesus's mouth that I don't think Jesus would say. And as I say, sometimes it's me. So there's got to be a pause, this orientation, because in God's house, it's not just the Catholics. And it's not necessarily, you know, we're such a diverse group as a church. It's beautiful. There's some wonderfully, we might label them with things like conservative, traditional, or liberal, or none of these words make any real sense. It's all of us. Yeah. Sorry, I'm ranting.
Thinking as while you're speaking there, Colin, isn't the art of preaching twisting the scriptures to say whatever you want them to say?
Can be.
Isn't that what preachers do?
Especially if you've got a great story that's already lined up, you want to fire. You know, you just want to get out there. Yep.
That's right. Or a parish issue that you want to use the scriptures to reinforce your own view about what Jesus should want if he were really here or really involved. Anyway, if you were the preacher today, and I hope some of you are, but if you were the preacher today to a congregation that you know, what is one point that you would like them to take home?
I think for me, going back to what Rory said about being at home in the church, but I have been prompted to say, well, what about the people that don't feel at home in the church? And as you said, we're talking about earlier on, it's about alignment. And I think aligning ourselves with all, being open and welcoming to those who are struggling. And there's so many that are struggling and on the peripheries at the moment, that I think that especially the first reading really speaks to us being one and then followed up with that beautiful peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. And it's about bringing peace to all so that their hearts are not troubled, they don't feel excluded, so that we can be a welcoming home for everyone.
I think the takeaway for me is around accepting or trusting the Holy Spirit to teach us everything we need. When we have questions or conflicts as members of the church or in our own lives, to pray to the Holy Spirit to provide the way forward. Like in the Acts, where the community appeals to the authority for an answer, what way is the way forward, and it's provided. I think the same. We need to do the same thing. We need to place our trust in the Holy Spirit to guide us on the journey of faith.
My takeaway is very similar to both. Listen for the Spirit and allow ourselves to be reminded of what Jesus told us.
Oh, I've got too many take-homes, I think. I think one thing I would want to do is to locate this Sunday in part of our salvation history. The Jesus lived, died. Of course, we went through Lent, and then there was Good Friday, and then that day of waiting, Holy Saturday, Easter Sunday. We've had these weeks of Easter. We had the octave of 8 days, and now these 6 weeks of Easter. Next Sunday, it's the Ascension. The following Sunday is Pentecost. So we've kind of got it all in these weeks. And I think my take-home question would be, what difference has it all made, is it all making to my life? Like these are the most major feasts of the church years around Easter, but what difference is it making? And the difference... Yeah, what difference is it making? That's all I'll say. I think I find that a key question for me in a very ongoing way. I think it is for all of us. Hey, thank you. Thank you to those in the room. Thanks, Colin and Felicity and Rory. Great to be with you. And I would love to be on a fly on the wall for all the conversations that you who listen to this then have with others. And I'd love to hear some of the homilies that are preached this weekend after listening to our conversation. Let's take a moment as we conclude with open minds and hearts, open to allowing Jesus to encounter us in the reality of our lives, praying too for every person who will meet these readings on this Sunday. And the prayer I want to conclude with is, it's called To Ponder. There was a cardinal known to many of us in Chicago, Joseph Bernardine, a few years ago. And this was a prayer that he wrote. The risen Christ is with us this day and continues to need each one of you. Jesus needs your eyes to continue to see. He needs your strength to continue to work. He needs your voice to continue to preach. He needs your hands to continue to bless. He needs your heart to continue to love. And Jesus needs your whole being to continue to build up his body, the church. As we believe, so let us live.
Amen.
Amen.